Welcome to the National Community Church Podcast. We're thrilled to be able to share this weekend's message with you from Pastor Joel Schmidgall. You can find us on national.cc or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Question. 5 years from now, do you expect your life to be as good or better than your life is right now? Matthew Gallagher posed this question to 100,000 people in 100 different countries. And he's the associate professor of clinical psychology at the University of Houston. And he was doing a study on hope when he posed this question. And what he found was that there is a positive outlook on the future that is to come for the majority of people. But here's what was interesting to me about the commentary on the study. As he talked about hope, he talked about it in a little bit of a different way than I'm used to. He didn't talk about hope as a value. He didn't talk about hope as an attitude. He talked about hope as a resource. And he talked about it as a primary resource to be able to deal with anxiety or problems or issues or adversity in my life or in our society's life. And so as I thought about it, you know, we talk a lot about the GNP, right? The gross national product. But what about the GNH? The gross national hope of our society, of our nation, right? And how would you rate the GNH at this point in time in history, right, for our country? And I'm thinking about it because I get to walk and work with people all the time. And I would say our GNH has taken a serious hit over the past couple of years, right? It's maybe dropped a little bit over a few years. And here's what happens when hope subsides. When hope gets less, we start to operate out of fear, out of worry. We operate out of being disheartened. We operate out of despair. We operate out of desperation. We operate out of self. And it's a society that's broken and hurting. And I hear these statements all the time. I hear the, I don't know. I don't care. I don't think so. I'm done with that. I'm sick of that. And we begin to acquiesce to the adversity that is what life is in this season. Hope has become a frail and a weakened concept. The consistency of hope being deferred and hope being disappointed has taken a toll on our society. Fact. But here's the thing. Are we talking about hope? Or are we talking about a wish? Because they're two different things, aren't they? There's a big difference. So hope is something that is grounded in possibility and probability. To actively hope in Christ is to live and to work with a confident view in the eternal that affects every event that is around us. We look to the scriptures, and it's a different narrative, isn't it? In fact, let's look at them right now. Romans chapter 5. Verses 1 through 5, we're going to read it right now here together. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Now, we talked about peace last week, didn't we? Pastor Mark talked about this Hebrew word, shalom. And it's this rich meaning that we learn more about peace. Shalom is complete wholeness, perfect harmony. It's the Garden of Eden before the fall, original blessing before original sin. It's the restoration of all things back into their original intent. It's the peace of God that passes all understanding, right? And so we read about this, the peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame. I like the KJV. It says, hope does not disappoint because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Will you just take a moment today and draw on the statements of hope that have been made over your life? I'm just gonna draw on them out loud for a moment. I remember when my parents spoke a word of hope over me. Said, Joel, you don't have to be like that person and their giftings. You are yourself, and we need more of you in this world. And you just need to work on developing your own gift and becoming who God has intended you to be. I think about Dr. Foth driving in the car. Said, Joel, you have a gift. And other people have acknowledged that gift. Now, you have to cultivate that gift, and you have to use it for the betterment of those that God has placed in your life. I think about an altar at Central Assembly in Springfield, Missouri, and I'm praying in the altar, and a random person who I have no idea who it is came up to me, and he prophesied over my life about the plans, some of the specific purposes that God would have in store for me. He shared a word of hope over me. I think of the 10th row in Miracle Theater on the right-hand side, all-night prayer meeting, when I'm praying over my kids. And God, give me a vision over my kids. And God gives me a vision. It's a vision of hope of who my kids can become. And I receive it and I realize, Joel, that vision that you see in 18 years for your kids, you have to live that right now. These statements that I'm sharing with you today, they're convictions of hope. I'm not talking about a wish today. I am talking about a confident hope that God will accomplish these things, and I am convicted to the bone of who I am, of what is to come. Listen, we can wish things well for those around us. We can wish safe travels, and we can wish good things, and we can have good wishes for the people around us. But I'm telling you, a wish is different than a hope. A wish is to feel or express a strong desire or hope for something that cannot or probably will not happen. A hope is a desire of some good accompanied with an expectation of obtaining it or belief it is obtainable. Wishes most often don't happen. But hope is based on what's possible. Can I give you a key today? Sometimes you need a scriptural key to unlock a statement. Hope is what is possible. And here's what the word says. Matthew 19:26. God says, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Hope is sparked in our souls, is it not? We are given hope, and it comes from above. What you expect and what you believe about your future will be the primary factor in how you live out your calling today. Can I just say that again? What you expect, what you believe about your future will be the primary factor, the primary determinant in how you live out your calling today. Here's what John Maxwell said. He said, where there is no hope in the future, there is no power in the present. Hope is empowering. I'm not just speaking from a theological perspective today. I'm speaking from a scientific perspective. And we see in the sciences that this is not just a theory. This is a science that reigns true, that people do better with hope. The book Hope Rising, J.D. Gwynn, shares story after story of people overcoming adversity because of the driving passion they have called hope. And here's how he summarizes it. He says, in every published study of hope, every single one, hope is the single best predictor of well-being compared to any other measure of trauma recovery. This finding is consistently corroborated with other published studies from top universities showing that hope is the best predictor for a life well lived. Hey, that said, I'll also say this. There is a difference between ordinary hope and theological hope. Ordinary hope is an irascible passion. It's a pleasurable anticipation for fulfillment of a desire that could be attainable, that could be overcome to achieve. But that's ordinary hope. Theological hope, it's a stance. It's a habit of the will. It is a divine infusion of the grace of God. It is the fuel that is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit within us. It is renewable life that comes from within. It is hope that is alive. Peter talks about this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." God desires for you to have new birth today, to have a living hope that comes in him. So I want to talk about four challenges of hope today. Four challenges of hope. We'll start with this. Number one, hope comes in the midst of obstacle. In 2010, Autumn McKenzie moved from San Antonio back to Maryland. And she came and life was going good. Her and her husband, Antonio, and their young little girl, Olivia. And then she had one that was to come as well. And so things were looking up and she got here and things went the opposite direction. And Antonio found out that he had late stage lung cancer. And she had grown up in the church, but faith was something for somebody else. And it was this, one of the most difficult seasons of her life, that she found faith and she found a personal relationship with God. She began to be active in the Spirit. And so it was brutal. It was painstaking. It took her legs out when she lost her husband, Antonio. She didn't know what to do, but she had this new act of faith and she turned to God. And then things weren't going her way in business and in life and pursuit, and it was difficult, and everything was difficult, everything that was coming her way. She said, "I'm a goal-oriented person, but I lost so much regarding the goals I set. Growing up, I had been in the stands watching others' faith. Now I found myself surrendering all my pursuits and resources. Before, I had been clutching for time and money, but in losing what had been dear, I found myself in pain. But in that pain, I realized I now serve a God who is outside of time, who has great treasure for now and for later. Antonio did not get his healing here, but he did on the other side. And I have found perspective on the physical, on the here and now, and now have a passion to invest in souls and in eternity." Since then, another death in the family happened. And she now she is the caretaker for two more kids. So she has four kids that she is caring for. And you know what she calls them? The Joy Club. How about that? And she has decided that she is going to live hope. And so she's turned their dining room into a prayer room / dream room. A room that their whole family starts every day in prayer. And they talk about dreams. And in her lowest season, in the season when she should lose all hope, she has found the greatest hope, and she is determined to live it and to give it away to those around her. Romans chapter 5, verse 3, "We also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope." Hope comes in the middle of obstacle. Number two, hope is active waiting. Near the end of the book of Psalms, there's a collection of poems called the Songs of Ascent. And these are songs that would be sung by the Israelites who would journey back to Israel. And they would go back to give sacrifices at the temple unto the Lord. And so they would sing these songs with a passionate desire and hope for the Messiah to come. And I want to read it today. Nikois read it earlier, Psalm chapter 130. And I want to reread it right now. And I want to ask you to just Step into a holy imagination. Put yourself in the shoes of those who would be trekking back as we read this again. Psalm 130, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word, I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love. And with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. It's a picture of the night watchman on top of the wall, moving and walking and looking here and there and far and close. And he's searching and he's watching and he's waiting and he's hoping. And it's this Hebrew word in the Old Testament for hope. It's the word yahal. And it means to wait. And it's a word that is used often in the planting time of the farm season. And so you have the sowing and reaping, right? And in the sowing, there is work to be done. And in the sowing, there is waiting to happen at the same time. There's a difference between passive waiting and active waiting, isn't there? There's a difference between passive hope and active hope. We see in the scripture, we see in this word, passive waiting is the sower coming and taking the soil and dropping a seed in that soil, then sitting back and waiting for something to happen. Active waiting is for the sower to come and take the soil and turn that soil over and till the soil and then drop a seed in that soil and then fertilize that soil and then water that soil and then see what might happen in that soil. In neither scenario does the sower control the destiny of the fruit. But there's a difference, isn't there? In one, the destiny is in the seed. But that seed gets soaked when the sower steps up and is active in waiting. This is our call, to be active in our hope. And something happens when we prepare, when we do what we can. And this is just a word for us today. I just believe that we need to be reminded that our hope is not dependent on us, because you are feeling it in some area of your life. You are feeling, I am just hopeless. I have lost hope in this area. I'm not even going to think about that today. Listen, because you know it's impossible for you. But I want to tell you something. Hope is not dependent just on you. Do you know that? But I want to tell you something else. That hope and that hope fulfilled has your involvement. It might not be dependent upon you as a whole, but you've got to be involved, just as the sower is involved in the destiny of that seed coming to fruition. And we learn trust. I love farmers because all of them have a high value on work and a high value on wait. They know work and wait go hand in hand. God is not just in the reward. Do you know that? He is in the waiting. When you are waiting, be active, and God will show up and God will work in the waiting. I love what Bishop Owen said. He's a city father. He said, don't allow your wait to become your wait. Don't allow your wait, W-A-I-T, to become your W-E-I-G-H-T, right? But allow your wait to become your worth. What does that mean? It means when you are in the waiting and you embrace it, what's happening? You're allowing perseverance to come. You're allowing perseverance to produce character and character to produce hope. And the people we love most are who? Are the people with character. The people that we love most are the people who have learned to wait and have embraced that and allow it to build up their character, to build up their person and their personality. In Psalm 130, the night watchman is waiting and anticipating for the morning. It's a long and it's oppressive time waiting for that morning to come. The darkness is heavy, but that watchman knows that the dawn will show up. Psalm chapter 30 says that there might be morning in the night. But listen, joy comes in the morning. Revelation 21:4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. It's talking about heaven. We have an eternal perspective on things. Eugene Peterson said this. He said, hope is imagination put in the harness of faith. It is a willingness to let God do it his way in his time. It is the opposite of making plans that we demand that God put into effect, telling him both how and when to do it. That is not hoping in God, but bullying God. I pray to God, my life a prayer, and wait for what he'll say and do. My life's on the line before God, my Lord, waiting and watching till morning, waiting and watching till morning. Hope comes in the midst of obstacle. Hope is active, waiting. And number three, Jesus is the obstacle of our hope. Bethany Allen from Bridgetown Church, she so eloquently spoke to this. She says, waiting can take a toll. Hope deferred too long can ferment. An expectation over time can fade, leaving us in the throes of disappointment. And disappointment seems to be the enemy of hope. But what if disappointment was an emotional signal from our body telling us that our hope was on the wrong object or in the wrong person? Instead of simply being a thief, what if it's actually an invitation to recalibrate our hearts? If it revealed our unhealthy attachments and idols and challenged us to reset the weight of our hopes onto the one who doesn't disappoint. Sometimes we need to call to mind not just what we are hoping for, but who we are hoping in. Our hope is in a person. We just read Psalm 130, and it doesn't say that we are waiting for help, does it? It says that we are waiting for a person, that we have hope in our Lord. He is the object of our hope. He is the reason we can have confidence today. He is the reason we can stand up and find new life and new vigor in our soul. Last week, Pastor Mark identified false securities. He identified false idols, those things that we put in front of God, that we pursue, that leads us down the wrong path. Timothy Keller, or Pastor Tim Keller, talks about this in his book, Counterfeit God. And he talks about four different root issues or root gods that we put our faith in instead. I'll just mention them briefly. First is power, a longing for influence or recognition. And I would say this of power, this is an idol of our city, isn't it? When we identify those idols of the DMV of this area, I would say whether this is one for you or not, if you live in this city, you are confronted by the seeking of power. Do we put our hope in power? Do we put our hope in control? Maybe this is you, a longing to have everything go according to my plan. We want this, don't we? If people would just do what I want them to do, everything would be fine, right? How does this work out in your relationships, by the way? If this is your pursuit, if your hope is in your control, how's that working out for you? Right? When we just try to get everyone to do what we want them to do, what are we doing? We're not pulling them closer, we're pushing them away, aren't we? Yes. And here's the thing, when we pursue these different things, we lose something along the way with control. If we put our hope in control, we can kiss love goodbye, can't we? We try to control the people around us, and we end up pushing them away. Number three, comfort, a longing for pleasure. Maybe you put your hope in comfort, and a lot of us do. We start to build our lives around this. We don't even have to leave our house. We can just type it in on our phone, and we get what we want to show up at our door. Now, somebody out there keeps taking some of those things that are showing up at our door. Anybody else live in the city, right? And so we don't always get what we want. But I tell you what, things are at our fingertips. And if we put our hope in comfort, we can kiss our joy goodbye. Why? Because joy doesn't come in getting what I want. Joy comes in generosity. Joy comes in giving. Joy comes in serving. Joy comes in putting others ahead of myself. So if I choose to put my hope in comfort, I'm choosing to kiss joy goodbye. Maybe you put your hope in approval, a longing to be accepted or a longing to be desired. And for many of us, we become a slave to the approval of others. And depending on what they think of us, or did they like that? Did they not like it? Did I do too much or did I do too little? And we become this sort of the slave of what others think about us. And here's the reality. If we put our hope in approval of others, we can kiss peace goodbye, can't we? We'll never find peace because we're never going to satisfy the people around us. And so here's the deal. We put our hope in these things and we're always going to miss the mark. The object of our hope is a person. And we find in 1 Peter 1:3, in his great mercy, he's given us a new birth and a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a person. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. It's a person. Romans 5:2, we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Our hope is in God. And that hope never fails. Jesus is the object of our hope. Number four, hope is not just for you. I shared earlier about Autumn and her story of pressing through adversity and pressing forward and finding hope and grasping and choosing hope. And now her day job is she works in emergency healthcare. She's a PA. And so she's confronted with problems and issues every single day. And she has chosen to bring hope to her workplace. And here's how she starts. Every day in every interaction, she introduces herself. Hi, I'm Autumn. How are you today? And tell me how you're doing. And she is an investigative reporter into the status of hope in every person that she confronts. She's looking to see where is their hope level. And depending on where it is, I know then how I can lean in. Because she said, because I pray on my way to work, I pray at work, I pray over patience, I pray to the Holy Spirit, and I make connections of hope throughout the day. And she said this, she said, listen, I'm in brokenness all the time. I'm with broken patients, I'm with broken coworkers. I'm in the brokenness of COVID. This is the workplace I live in, and then I go home. And I got four kids who need a high level of coaching and parenting and love and goodness. I'm walking in brokenness all the time, but I have decided I will bring hope. And a woman who has gone through the valley, yet everybody she confronts seems to receive hope coming out of her. How is that possible? Because she understands where that hope comes from. And she lives it out. We this week in our commission small group, and for all of our commission small groups, I think we watched Shah's video, Shah Cartagena, and she was a teacher over at Ballou High School. Now she's actually an assistant principal. And she shared some of her story, and what she did a number of years ago, she just started circling in prayer her school. And with other teachers, they started praying over the students. And then she did something she called coloring her prayer. And so she would sit down each week and she would write down the name of one of her students. And then she would take 10 minutes and she would just color and write words around that person's name. At the end of the year, she had this entire booklet of coloring her prayer. She gained a vision for how she could receive God's hope and then constantly give it away to those students that were around her. What are ways that you can give away hope? What has God called you? What are ways that God has called you to give hope to those around you? In a few moments, we're going to light a candle right over here. And it's a candle of hope today. And when we do, and when we sing this next song, I'd love to encourage you to consider just a few things. I want to give us some reflection questions today. There's three questions we're going to put up right here behind me. And these are questions I would ask you to consider. Number one, where have you placed your hope? Today might be the day that you want to surrender your life to Christ, that you want to put your hope in Christ. Maybe today is your day. Maybe this is your moment. When we light this candle, I'd encourage you just to pray a prayer. God, I need you. I believe in you. And I surrender to you this day, God, to follow you with everything that I have and to pursue active relationship in you. You can just pray a simple prayer like that to the Lord And he'll respond, put your hope in Christ today. Two, where have you lost your hope? Maybe you've given up on a God-given dream. Have you become apathetic to potential change that God wants and desires for you to be a part of, and you've just given up? You've gotten so tired, you've gotten so frustrated, you've just seen so little happen that you have just thrown in the towel and you've given in. But God, he does not call you to bring about life change in anybody else. Do you know that? That's not your job. Your job is to be faithful to the calling that he has given to you. Listen, can I say the same thing to you? You don't have to be that person over there with their giftings. You just need to be you. We need more of you in the world. You pursue who God has made you to be. You don't need to change that person over there. Do you know that? God's going to do the work in them. You need to be you. You be faithful where God has placed you, and understand this, that your value doesn't come from that person. It doesn't come from that person. Your worth comes from above. So stop worrying so much about those around you and how they give you value in life when he gives you value. What hope have you lost? And third, and worship team, you can come in just a moment. With whom do you need to share hope? Who's the name that God has dropped into your mind today? And who do you need to write down and begin to color around this week and speak hope into? Who do you need to light a candle for and pray hope over their lives? I pray today that hope would find you. I pray hope would find you today. That the hope of God would invade your mind and your heart. And today, as you reach out to God, that he would bring a new birth of living hope in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.